church. And church is not one individual. Church is made up of many members. And we are one body in Christ Jesus. But God has left us some rules and instructions. And those of you that's visiting, this is sort of an in-house lesson, but it's for us all. Because hopefully we want one day for you to be a part of God's family, if you're not already. And so we try to do this at least once a year, a doctrinal lesson. So our church, the church that's in the Bible that we're trying to emulate and be like, we don't want to lose our identity. We want to be recognized when Jesus comes. Because the Bible says one day he's coming for the church. It says judgment will begin in the house of God. And we want to be in the house of God, don't we? Amen. We talked about the responsibilities and roles of the leaders, the evangelists, and the elders in the church, and the church in the Bible is set up that way, and how their responsibilities are to equip the saints. Ephesians 4 and verse number 11 and 12, the shepherds, the bishops, the overseers, the elders of the church are to lead by example. In 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse number 2, the responsibilities of members, we talked about that the last couple of weeks, responsibilities and roles of members to encourage, to build up, to grow, to appreciate the leaders, to live faithful lives, to be together, to come together, to not be isolated. And we were not exhaustive in all the responsibilities of either one, but to give us some direction on what God expects from us, our roles in the church, because everybody in the church has a role assigned by God. It's just like in marriage, the husband has a role and the wife has it. I know we're trying to switch them and flip them and we're trying to wear the same roles, but that's not how God did. Children have a role. Children are not parents. God didn't intend for children to be parents. And that's just the way God set things up. But I want today, I entitled the day, this last lesson in this series, the end goal of the church. And we do ourselves a disservice when we don't set goals, even for our own selves. We don't set goals. When we don't set goals, we leave our futures. We leave our futures to chance or to hope or to wishes, to empty wishes often. And God has in his word, he set intermediate goals for us, goals while we're living on this earth. And he set end goals for us as individuals and as his church. It's a certain way God wants his church to look. And I want to encourage us, all of us, young people, you set goals. You set goals in life. Goals propel us. They propel us forward, and they give us motivation. It gives you motivation to get up when you, that's the more specific, the better. When you set a goal, it gives you motivation. You know what you got to get done when you get up in the morning. Goals transform us. They transform. Goals have a way of transforming something that looks insurmountable. It looks like it's a mountain. It transforms it into a hill. You know, it makes it achievable when you set goals, when you have something specific. It makes it seem like it's impossible. You know, goals, you know, we've set goals for the church this year. This year we've set goals. And, you know, goals can turn a crowd into a mighty army. You know, you ever seen a bunch of folk just standing around, you know, and don't know what they want to do, but a specific goal can put some focus in some folk and help them to move along in life. Goals also hold us accountable. You know, when you look back on whether or not you achieve them or not, and I just want to talk about the end goal, because sometimes we just going through life just getting up, just moving. You don't even know why we got up. And we just mulling around. And you know, sometimes a whole day go by. Can I ask you a personal question? What did you do yesterday? You don't have to answer that out loud. I just ask a question. Because you know what? It's gone. I mean, it's gone. You can't get it back. If you say if you wasted some time yesterday, guess what? It's wasted. And I was thinking about that. I was thinking about that when I was preparing this lesson. I said, well, you know, I wasted a lot of time in life. I really have. And for those of you especially that's my age and above, you know what? Guess you know what? We don't have no whole lot of time to waste, do we? I'm telling you, boy. I know the Bible tells us not to be anxious for anything. We're not so worried about stuff and worried about when we're gonna die. But time is short. I'm telling you, when I get up in the morning, I'm like, look, okay, what do I have to do? What needs to get done today? It's just a reminder. Every now and then we have to remind ourselves, you know, am I getting anything done? They say the goal, I'm not a big soccer fan, you know, soccer, they call it football in other countries. It's football. Soccer is bigger than football in our country. You do know that, don't you? Well, some of you may not know it, but soccer is huge. But the goal of those teams all around in different countries, their goal is try to get to the World Cup. It's to win the World Cup. And you have some teams that don't win. And every year, the NBA, the season starts, and all of these teams. How many teams in the NBA? Some of you brothers know 32 teams in the NBA. And you know their goal when they start is to get to the NBA championship. Not only just to get there, to win it. You might say, well, they can't make it, but they need to believe that they're gonna make it. If they're gonna ever get there. You know the football season is starting. And I know y'all just can't wait. Some of you are gonna be missing church trying to catch the Cowboys. And I don't even want to hear nothing about the Cowboys last night. What they did to the Texans, that don't even count. Amen? Amen. I know Brother Jones is not in here this morning, but Tim Jones, he's just crazy about the Cowboys. Yeah. But they're trying to win. Who's going to win the Super Bowl? I can tell you who's going to win. The team that's going to win is the team that's prepared the best and that wants it the most and the team that has the talent to do it. And I was just thinking about the Lord's church. And I told you this lesson is a in-house lesson, and I was thinking about the Fifth Ward Church of Christ, and what is our end goal? What is God's goal for us? We are family, aren't we? Yeah, we family. I hope you feel it even more, because even if you're a new member, I hope you recognize what you are a part of. Not that we're any more special than anybody else. Don't put that in your head. But we are the Lord's church. We are the family of God. What does God want for us? I do know what he wants in his word. He wants a complete leadership. He wants a complete leadership. And you've heard me say every week that I do not believe any organization, any entity will rise any higher than their leadership. Yeah, and God has put more responsibility on the leadership. He does it in his home. He puts responsibility on the leadership. And Philippians chapter 1 and verse 1, Paul and Timothy are evangelists. They're the evangelists, bond servants, but he calls them bond servants of Christ Jesus. And he calls them, you know, the word bond servant, in some translations it says slaves. And to the leaders, you are servants. And we are to be servants. We lead by example to be servants. the evangelist, and he says to all the saints, that's all the members of the church. We do know we are saints, right? Listen, we're not in the Catholic Church. Amen? We're not in the Catholic Church. And I know, you know, sometimes the Catholics refer to their leaders as saint, you know, saint this and saint that. Well, in the church, in the Bible, all the members are saints. It's not a title that we wear and say, oh, hey brother, hey, Saint Gary. It's not a title. It's who we are. Amen? It's what God has labeled us as. You know the song we sing when the saints go marching in? If we were in the Catholic Church, only the saints. But I don't know about you, but I plan on marching in. And the scriptures say, when the saints go marching in. And so don't, you know, sometimes we in the church, Lord's church, we don't know who we are. Yeah, we are saints. We don't have wings on. You know, don't stop looking at TV and getting all your images from the cartoons. But we are saints. Now, this is an invitation to you if you're here this morning and you haven't been baptized into Jesus Christ, then you're not a saint. You're not a saint. And with all the love that we have, but we are not discriminatory. Yes, we still have seats, and even if all the seats were full, God still has room for you. And so this morning you can be a saint. How you be a saint, Brother Gary? Obey God's word. So faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You're gonna hear the gospel of God. What's the gospel? It's the good news of Jesus Christ. That Jesus Christ came, he lived, he died, and he is coming again. You got to believe it with all of your heart. You got to be willing to repent of your sins. That's a changed life. You can't just keep doing the same sinful things and our mind haven't changed about it. He says you got to repent of your sins. You got to be baptized in water for the forgiveness of your sins. Everybody in here that's a saint, that's what they did. And guess what? That's what you have to do. You can do it right now. If you come down here right now, we'll stop when we're church. And baptize you right now. Sure, we won't wait till the fifth. We won't wait till the fifth week, the fourth week, next month, 3 months later. We don't wait. We don't wait because we believe that baptism puts us into Jesus Christ. Yeah. So if you want to be baptized, come on down here right now. If you scared, somebody come with them. Amen. Amen. I know I would be a little afraid. Sometimes we've been in here. Oh, those of us have been in the Lord's church a while. We just so used to everything. We know everybody. But some people, people get nervous when there's big crowds like this. Yeah. And you can come right now. You can come right now. Now, some of you older church members, just be quiet. Don't be anxious. We have never done that before. Yes, we have. And if we happen, it can happen right now, okay? Amen. Yeah, just because you saved, somebody else want to be saved. Amen. So that's the invitation for you to be in the family of God. That's how they did it in the Bible. That's how they did it in the Bible. And that's how we do it. That's how we teach it. Make no apologies about it. We don't teach that you saved at the point of belief only. Yes, belief is important. You got to believe, but you got to do more than believe. The very first sermon that was preached, he told them, repent and be baptized. Every one of you. Who did that miss? And so that's what we teach. Amen. Amen. So, yeah. So you had the evangelists, you have the saints. Then it says, including the overseers, that's the elders, the shepherds, the leaders. He says, and the deacons. And the deacons. So in this one verse, you see the organization of the church that you can read about in the Bible. And that's what God wants, a complete. What about our church? We don't have elders. We don't have deacons. Well, that's what we all need to be working for, working towards, if we're going to be a complete leadership like the church in the Bible. Amen? And those as members here, you take for granted because we've had elders, deacons, and for a long time. And you say, well, you don't take that for granted. You don't take that for granted. Yes, yes. And it's wonderful to be a part of a family. I've talked to two or three people in the last couple of weeks who were looking for a church. And they're so serious about they're so serious about wanting to be where they know the church is doing God's work, set up like what God wants. And then while there's no perfection, this is our goal. We are always, one of my jobs as the evangelist is to equip, is to teach other men and women that they may teach others also. And so we're always trying to train men and women to be leaders in the Lord's church. See, our elders, they're getting old. Amen. That's just the truth. I'm getting old. We're all getting old. So in the next 10 years, our leadership will look different. But we have to have somebody to be able to replace the leaders. Our deacons, we have 19 deacons. We need more deacons right now. Amen. But you don't just up and say, I want to be a deacon. Deacon is already proven. A deacon is really, when a brother becomes a deacon, he's already doing deacon work. Amen. Yeah, amen. We need deacons. It's not a club. It's not an isolated club where that's all we're going to ever have is 19 deacons. We need some deacons. Amen. And a deacon got to be married to a good woman. Amen. A godly woman. The same with an elder. The elder can't be an elder without a good wife. Amen. Amen, 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 amen. Y'all just sound good this morning. Yeah. We need leaders working together. We need leaders working together. Book of Psalms, chapter 133 and verse 1. The psalmist writes, behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brothers to dwell together in unity. Yeah, that's a task in and of itself, to dwell together in unity. And so we got to keep working together, brothers, sisters. Keep working together. Different personalities. It's not about us, it's about who. So sometimes we have to lay our own personalities and our own pleasures and desires aside for the sake of the kingdom. Amen? Yeah. So thank God when we can work together. We can get a lot done working together. Yeah. So are we going to keep working together? Amen. I heard about 3 amens on that. No, I heard you. It's hard to work together, though. Yeah. It's hard to work together. Some of these schools, some of these teachers, they're so frustrated because just crazy folk running the school. Yeah. Not all of them, but let's pray that we continue to work together. That's what God desires. God wants us to be a loving community of believers. A loving community. Loving community. We have in our ice cream fellowship tonight. You have a bulletin? Yeah, we have an ice cream, call it an ice cream fellowship tonight. We're doing that tonight. Today is the fourth Sunday of the month, right? Fourth Sunday, it's August the 25th, and we on our calendar we have in there almost once a month, maybe once every other month, for us to have a fellowship on Sunday evenings, and we're gonna worship together. We're gonna worship together, and then afterwards we're asking our deacons' wives and elders' wives to help us serve the ice cream, and we just want everybody to come, just fellowship together. I don't know what shows come on tonight on TV, but what you doing tonight? That's just you going out of town. You're not going out of town, are you? Okay. I'm talking to those that's visiting. This is not unless you just want to come. You're welcome to come, but if you're not going out of town, if you're not doing nothing special, and you got enough gas to get you here tonight, Would you come and fellowship with us tonight? Just come fellowship. Just get to know somebody. Your task is to get three names of people you don't know their names. Three names. Three whole names. First and last name. Amen. Yeah. Just learn three names. Also, we're inviting our college students. All our college students to fellowship this afternoon. We're gonna have after the second service, we're gonna have across the street, we're gonna have a little light meal for you. I know you want that, don't you? Yeah, meal. College student members, visitors, just come across the street. And we do, because family eat together. I mean, if we don't do nothing, if we can't eat together, we can't do nothing together. Amen? Yeah, I know some of us have different tastes. The scripture puts it this way in John chapter 15, verse 12. This is Jesus talking. In some of your Bibles, it's in the color red. This is my commandment. That's what Jesus said. That you love one another just as I've loved you. Jesus loved hard. He did. He loved hard. He was so Jesus was so compassionate. I mean, of course he had the ability and he had the talent to heal. And Jesus healed so many people. And he spread love everywhere he went. And that is what we ought to be about. That ought to be one of our primary tasks every day is to be this loving community of believers who love God first and who love people. Yeah, that's not, I'm not going to say that's not hard to do, but we need to do more of that. We do need to do more of that. So ice cream is just, we eat that physically, but really it's just to bring us together. We know, I'm going to extend the same invitation to the 11:15 worship service. You're going to see people there. You don't even say, don't look at people and say, you go to Fifth Ward. Don't say that. Yeah. But you're going to think it. I tell you what, I'll give you a challenge. You're not going to do this, though. You're not going to stay for 11:15 service. But you peep in here at 11:15 service and see all the people. You see, I call them people, but you see all the family. You see all the saints that you don't know. Amen. And even in here right now, there are some of you, if you just look across, you say, I have never seen him before. Who is that? And they saying the same thing. Who is you? He says it in verse 17. This I command you twice. It's not an option. See, you know what? I shouldn't say that. This go keep some people out of heaven. It ain't going to be that you don't know the plan of salvation. It's not going to be that you don't know that God's intention is that there are one family, one church in the Bible. It's going to be that it's going to be something in our hearts. It's going to be some prejudice. It's going to be some animosity. It's going to be somebody you don't forgive. See, this is God. That's why one of the responsibilities of us as members, of all of us as members, is to grow. Because some of you, Brookie, I ain't there yet. You might not be there yet. Thank the Lord that you're still living, because we need to learn how to love better. That's what God's goal is for, and his son demonstrated it to the utmost. Who else could be on the cross and say, Father, forgive them? Oh, Lord Jesus, help me. Jesus, Lord, get that kind of. Well, because some people, boy, they can get on your nerves so bad and act so crazy. You almost want to pray, Lord, get them right now. But God wants everybody to be saved. That's why we are going to be without excuse when we stand before God. Because he sent his best for us, gave us every opportunity, and saying, you cannot say, well, but God is not fair. He's fair because you're here right now, hearing his word, pricking your heart. And we still walk out of here and hate somebody and talk about people and lie to somebody. So our goal is to love each other and to, you know, some of us, we got to work at this thing. See, when somebody come to you with some foolishness, say, hold on, sister, hold on, come on, let's, no, it's better. Let's don't talk about them. Let's help her. Let's pray for her. Come on, because not today, sis. I don't need to hear that today, no. No, let's just talk positive. Look, sometimes we sitting around, look at you, we just talking about people. And not just people, we talking about our own in the church. So keep that stuff. Don't call each other on the phone with your girl. She went down front again. And you know you should have went down front. Yeah, you should have been down. You should have been right there with her. Hey, man, somebody. Yeah, somebody, yes. Somebody's child went to jail, but thank the Lord yours didn't go today. Amen. Yeah. We're talking about what God wants from us. He wants complete maturity. He wants us to grow to be mature saints. Listen to 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 10. 1 Corinthians 1:10. Now I exhort you, as Paul writes to this church and all of us brethren by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all agree that there be no bitterness. This is a letter to the saints. To the Christians, and this was happening centuries ago, and you know it still happened today. He says, y'all agree that there be no divisions among you, that you be made complete in the same mind. And I know somebody think, well, Gary, that's not achievable. That's the goal. Yeah, that's the goal. We got to work at it. In the same judgment. So that's why we have to study the word together. See, sometimes even those that's mature, that we call ourselves mature saints, we stop studying because we think we already got an answer. And we don't know what we think we know. Yeah. We got to grow. Yeah. He says in Colossians 1:28, we proclaim him. Admonishing. Now, this is Paul. He writing to the church at Colossae, and he says, I'm preaching, I'm proclaiming Jesus. And then he said, admonishing. You know, the word admonish means to warn. It means to firmly. Firmly give a warning. He said to encourage. He says, admonishing every man and woman, and teaching every man and woman with all wisdom, so that you may present every man complete, mature. Don't take out of your mind, you hear me say a lot of times, no, we're not going to be perfect, but our goal is to grow up, is to mature in Christ, and it's something that we have to work on. Yeah, we got to work on. Yeah, sometimes you ever practice saying something in the mirror? You never practice saying something in the mirror before? Some of us haven't done that before, but I used to be so terrified. When I was in class, and you know, one of my teachers, you heard me tell you this before, we had to do a speech, and had to do it in front of the whole class, and I was literally terrified. No man was my superior. And I, it, 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 we about halfway, got through about halfway, and some of them would say she called on you, and some of them said, and I thought that she wasn't going to get to the end. I say, oh, she's not going to get to the end. We can't get to everybody in here. And then right when she got to the middle, she said, y'all think I'm not, everybody going to do this. And it just shook me to, it shook me up. I was very shy, and I started practicing. And I learned it. I learned the saying. But it's learning it and saying it is a whole different thing. And I remember I got in the mirror, and I looked in the mirror, and I started saying, no man is my superior because he is white. No man is my inferior because he is black. But he is my superior, who is superior in mentality, ability, and achievement. That was when I was in the seventh grade. I think the seventh grade, Miss Bailey. And I said it in the mirror. And you know, I said it in the mirror, and I couldn't even hardly look at myself in the mirror. So you know I was scared. But I just kept saying it. And then when I got in the classroom, and you never knew whose name she was gonna call on. I was in the classroom, and that day I got in the classroom, I said to myself, she gonna call me. And she called Gary Smith. And I just marched right up there in the classroom. I didn't say nothing. I said the whole complete thing. And I never thought I really could do that. There are a lot of things that we have not done yet that we need to do. Amen. She had a mama and a daddy. He had a mom. You show me a person who has a mom and dad, and I'll show you somebody who didn't have one and still achieved. Amen. So stop looking. As a matter of fact, sometimes that can be a crutch to somebody. And so if we're gonna grow, it's a personal thing to be complete. You talk to husbands and wives, and you know. Issues going on in the marriage, and you bring it up, you know, well, this is the way my daddy did it, and you know, I ain't used to that. Well, get used to it if it's right in God's eyesight. Amen. And so God wants the church. See, individually he wants us to grow, but he wants the church, the collective body, to be his glory machine. He wants his church to shine in the world, in this dark world. God wants us, the Fifth Ward Church of Christ, to shine. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 21, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Every local body, every church of Christ, every church that's in the family, God wants it to shine. If I had time, I'd go to the book of Revelations, in Revelation chapter 1 and chapter 2, and you see the seven churches, and all of them were not pleasing to God. Amen? And because I'm the evangelist here, the shepherds are the shepherds here, it's our responsibility to equip the church to shine. Do great works for God, good works for God, that God will get all the glory. Amen. Yeah. So that's what God wants us to do. So that's why we not gonna be lazy. Amen. No. Somebody, we always doing something. Yes. And as long as God give us the strength, as long as God gives us the breath, we're going to keep doing stuff. Amen? So we want you, if you're not on board, we want you to get on board. We want to hold each other up. It's not dependent on any one person. It's dependent on all of us. doing our part. Listen to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 27, that he might present to himself the church, listen, in all of her glory, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she would be holy and blameless. Do you not know that Jesus is going to come back one day? And he's going to come back first for his church. Now, don't misunderstand this. Don't misunderstand it. Don't get too happy and say, ooh, Lord, I just want to hang, as long as I'm in the church. Well, remember that the church is made up of individuals. We're individuals, and collectively we do make up the church. But we all going to stand before God for ourselves. Amen. Amen. But the Bible says judgment is going to begin in the church. But I do believe this. I believe this with all my heart. I believe some children are blessed because of their parents. Amen. You know that's the truth. Yeah, you get parents who just, you know, they taking care of business, they doing things, and their children receive blessings that they really didn't have nothing to do with. Amen. Some of us are going to be saved because somebody faithful brought you to Christ. Nothing that we necessarily did for, and that's why we all have to grow. But see, I know, Lord have mercy, you heard me. When my mother has been in the church all of her life. Thank you, Lord. My dad was baptized when I was about 8 years old. And it changed our household. It transformed our household. We were some bad little boys. I'm not going to talk about my sister. But I'm just saying, when I say bad, we were cut up. And my mother had a strong hand on us. And she used to correct us and spank us. But we just... I don't know. That's what changed my dad. Cause it's just, you know, you ever heard that phrase? The boys start smelling themselves. And I was the youngest one, and my brothers that was a little bit older than me, they was awful. My dad straightened us up. My dad was the reason I got baptized. I believe that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. I believed it with all of my heart, even at that, going to Bible classes. I believed it. But when my daddy changed and got baptized and was faithful, I knew this is what I needed to do. And what are you saying? You see, we can bless each other. See, that's why we as members of the body, we got to encourage one another, because sometimes, you know why some folks come to worship every Sunday? Because you come every Sunday. And we encourage each other. Some of us lift each other. Some of us, we would be down a slippery slope if it were not some up for some other members in this body. Right now. Yeah. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 10 and 11, and I'm closing. That was read in your hearing. The Bible says, when he comes to be glorified in his sight. You know who he is, don't you? That's Jesus. He says, when he comes to be glorified in his saints. That's why I say, if you're not a saint, you need to be a saint. On that day, to be marveled at among all who have believed. Even those of us in the church, when Jesus comes, it's going to be an awesome day. Oh, Barry, I don't know if we're going to be saying it. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know where we're going to be. But you know, we sing that song, Oh, Happy Day. Oh, Happy Day. Y'all don't say. Y'all want to say? No, I don't say. It's going to be a marvelous day. It says, for all who have believed, not for all who have believed, but for those who have not believed and those who have not obeyed. It's going to be a scary day. Folk going to be running, trying to hide in the mountains. There's nowhere. Lord, I don't even want to think about that. I don't want to think about that. I just want to. And you know, I don't know. I'm kind of, you know, I've always been kind of, I ain't no count about it. I've always been scared. I'm scared of the dark. I was scared. I'm just scared. Stuff happened. I'll be jumping I think it's going to be a scary, happy day. Yeah. For our testimony to you was believed, Paul says to him. He says, for my preaching, you believed. And see, that's why the Bible says, without faith, it's impossible. Even here comes to God, must believe that he is, and that's rewarded. We haven't seen God, but we believe. He says this, to this end, also we pray. You want to know the end goal? For you always, that our God will count you worthy of your calling, and fulfill every desire for goodness and for the work of faith with power, so that the name of our Lord Jesus will be glorified in you and you in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah. Yeah. It's our end goal. Yeah. Everything else we doing in our lives and our families, what's going on, this is our end goal. Yeah. And all the other stuff we trying to accomplish and trying to do, it don't even matter. It don't even count if your end goal is not seeing Jesus in peace when he comes. You here today, you're not a child of God, you need to come. If you're here today, you're a child of God and you need prayer, you need to come. Won't you come as we stand and sing this song?
Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power?
Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in his grace
this hour?
Are you washed
in the blood of the Lamb?
Yes,
oh, are you washed
in the blood,
in the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb,
are your garment
spotless, are they white as snow?
Are you washed
in the blood of the Lamb? Are you walking daily by the Savior's side?
Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?
Do you rest each moment in the crucified?
Are you washed
in the blood of the Lamb?
Yes.
Are
you washed
in the blood?
Soul,
cleansing blood of the Lamb,
are your garments
spotless, are they white as snow?
Are you washed
in the blood of the Lamb? Oh, when the bridegroom cometh,
will your robes be white,
pure and white in the blood of the Lamb? Will your soul be ready for the mansion bright,
and be washed
in the blood of the Lamb?
Yes,
are you washed
in the blood,
in the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb?
Are
your garment spotless, are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Lay aside the garment that are stained with sin, and be washed in the blood of the Lamb. There's a fountain flowing for the soul unclean. Oh, be washed in the blood of the Lamb. Are you washed in the blood, in in the soul, cleansing blood of the Lamb, of the Lamb. All your garments spotless, are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb, of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless, are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb, all your garments spotless, are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? When the Savior calls, I will answer, and when he calls for me, I will hear him. And when the Savior calls, I will answer, and I'll be somewhere listening for my name. Oh, I'll be somewhere listening, I'll be somewhere listening, I'll be somewhere listening for my, yes, for my name. Oh, I'll be somewhere listening, I'll be somewhere listening, I'll be somewhere listening for my name. Oh, I'll be somewhere listening, I'll be somewhere listening, I'll be somewhere listening for my, yes, for my name. Oh, I'll be somewhere listening, I'll be somewhere listening, I'll be somewhere listening for my name. If my heart is right when he calls me, and if my heart is right, I will hear him. And if my heart is right when he calls me, then I'll be somewhere listening for my name. Oh, I'll be somewhere, I'll be somewhere listening, I'll be somewhere listening for my, yes, for my name. Oh, I'll be somewhere listening, I'll be somewhere listening, I'll be somewhere listening for my name. Oh, I'll be somewhere listening, I'll be somewhere listening, I'll be somewhere listening for my, yes, for my name. Oh, I'll be somewhere listening, I'll be somewhere listening, I'll be somewhere listening for my name. Oh, I'll be somewhere listening, I'll be somewhere listening, I'll be somewhere listening for my name, yes, for my name. Oh, I'll be somewhere listening, I'll be somewhere listening, I'll be somewhere listening for my name. If my robe is white when he calls me, and if my robe is white, I will hear him. And if my robe is white when he calls me, then I'll be somewhere listening for my name. Oh, I'll be somewhere listening, I'll be. Somewhere listening, I'll be. Somewhere listening for my, yes, for my name, oh, I'll be. Somewhere listening, I'll be. Somewhere listening, I'll be. Somewhere listening for my name, oh, I'll be. Somewhere listening, I'll be. Somewhere listening, I'll be. Somewhere listening for my, yes, for my name, oh, I'll be. Somewhere listening, I'll be. Somewhere listening, I'll be. Somewhere listening for my name.
You say you don't want to drop your cards when you're preaching. You're in bad shape. Anyway, well, I want to thank Brother Gary for that series. And we want to thank him for that message today. And he helped me. I know, I'm sure he helped all of us. And especially if we are not a member. We know some of the things what we need to do. I'm going to read the names of our brothers and sisters that came down. And I'm going to ask you to start.